Welcome to the official podcast of PHP Architect. Join us to listen to the latest news and tech talk from our conferences, the magazine, and wider PHP community.
And we're back, and my mic is unmuted. I am just doing everything right tonight.
I'm good. I'm glad that wasn't just me.
No, nope, that was
my audio is broken.
That was me. Welcome to the PHP Architect podcast. As you can tell, our back door into Eric's computer is still active, and we're here for another week to talk PHP with you. This podcast is made better by our partner PHP Score. We will talk about them a little bit more in a few minutes. Just some routine stuff. Feel free to join us in Discord. That is discord.phparch.com. I know these URLs. Join us in Discord. Sorry, say that again.
It's a tough URL. Yeah.
It is a tough URL. So catch us join us in Discord. You can also catch us in Chicago in a few weeks for PHP Tech. And if you don't have your tickets yet and you would like to join, you can find a coupon code for, I think it's $100 off on the PHP subreddit on rphp. So John made a post there. I'll make you go look that up to get the $100 off or the coupon, whatever the value is there. But come and hang out with us for a few days in Chicago. With a bunch of PHP people and some JavaScript people as well. We're putting on two different conferences within the same venue, same kind of track. There's a JavaScript conference going on, or JavaScript track alongside the PHP Tech conference. Let's see. Also, you can hire a PHP architect, and I have a fancy graphic to show you. Oh, here it is. Fancy brand new graphic. Eric just gave us this to talk about. If you want to enhance your team, if you have a development team and you would like to enhance your team without having to do the hiring yourself and interviewing and all that process, have a look at PHP Architect. We augment your team. We offer diverse backgrounds, whether that's coding, hands-on keyboard coding, or just consulting, or doing architecture reviews, code reviews, whatever your business may need, whatever your team may need. Check us out. You can find more information at phparch.com/consulting. So yeah, reach out if you're interested in working with us.
I'm looking at that infographic. That's very important. 42 millisecond response time. That's the answer to life, the universe, and everything.
Exactly.
Thank you. I worked on that joke for like 3 seconds.
Yeah. You were deeply involved, I see.
Yes.
So how's the week been since we last got to do this?
I think I've had 8 hours of sleep this week so far. It's been great. Yeah.
That's great.
Jet lag and Atlantic flights, fifth one of the year so far. It's been,
you just love traveling that much, huh?
Just how one rolls, yes.
I liked your Mastodon post talking about how it's not that you have buried any bodies. And I was like, I got that joke and I was like, oh yeah, it's funny. Sarah killed Eric and John. And then I was like, wait, Sarah just did flee the country. So did she?
No. I did not allude to anyone's death, merely their,
kidnapping?
Yeah, there's a word for kidnapping. It's like unlawful detention or something like
that. Yes, detainment. Yes. Yeah. Unlawful detainment. Yeah. Yes.
Unlawfully detained or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which obviously I'm sure John and Eric are just fine.
Oh yeah, they're fine. I've actually talked to Eric today. And John's, I think, still on vacation, so, which is what I'm doing tomorrow. I'm out of here. So yeah.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
I got the place for myself next week.
I don't know. They may. Well, if the hack holds, we'll see.
Well, the trick is that Eric's trying to clear it out using agentic AI, and he doesn't realize that's what caused it in the first place.
Oh man. Eric is going to have a good story when he gets back with agentic AI and the issues we've been having with our Alfred bot in the PHP Architect Slack. I'll let him tell the story when he gets back, but it's going to be interesting.
I can't wait to hear this. Yeah.
Yes. So I guess we can start by covering some stuff that's been going on in internals. I guess there's some interesting things. I think the biggest thing for me, or I don't know. I think it's a really big deal because when I got involved in open source in the late 90s, early 2000s, it was all about the license, and it was all about MIT license, BSD licenses, and To be quite honest, I am not a licensed expert, other than I know if I slap MIT on it, somebody can't make money on it, and I don't have to do anything that I don't want to with it. And I'm sure there's tons more onto that. I know a lot of much smarter people in the community have been working on this, but this is something that Ben Ramsey took to heart and put a ton of work in. Is there's a license change RFC, and it passed, is what I'm talking about. And we'll have two externals. I will share that in Discord. But essentially, what passed today was, or passed this past week, was the license update for PHP. I think Sarah, you've had some notes here. You can probably explain this better than I can.
I mean, I'm very excited about this. Like, I'm actually for that. I'm in favor of this, but I'm going to say that right before I say that I kind of miss the old license. And the reason for that is not the license, but it is how the control of the license was held previous to this. It was sort of an accidental safety mechanism for PHP, and it's okay that it's gone. It's not like the end of the world thing, but early on in PHP's history, in order to have a holder for the license to PHP, they created this PHP group, and it was the people who were active in the development of PHP at the time, like very active, were just named members of this PHP group, and they just sort of co-shared this PHP license. If you've seen the words "the PHP group," that is a quasi-legal entity that was holding the PHP license at the time. And the best part about that was, really quick, that group was disparate enough and spread out enough that you couldn't make any change to PHP's license if you wanted to. If Microsoft came along and wanted to buy PHP out from under us, they literally would be chasing their tails trying to make that happen, because they would have to get every single license holder in the same room to sign the documents and make it happen. Technically, we no longer have that now, because some of the work that Ben did was to make it so that, actually, if we're going to go to all the trouble of being able to make a change to PHP's license in order to fix some of the actual problems with it, which we'll get to those in a second, let's maybe make it so we don't have to do this again. Let's make it so that if one of the older members of the PHP group dies, there's not a question of who owns that bit of the license now. So, first thing Ben did is he went to every single one of the actual, Ben Ramsey, by the way, Eric's favorite person, looks up to him, it's like a mentor, went to everyone who was an official stakeholder in the license, and that is both the members of the PHP group, as well as, I believe, Perforce basically owns Zen's bit of it, because they bought something from Rogueway, who bought Zen. There's a whole chain of legal ownership and things like that. Went to all of the stakeholders and said, all right, look, we want to make this change. It comes with all of these technical bits, all of these sort of ownership bits, and we need sign off from everybody, and got all the sign offs. So yay, PHP is now under new management, under old management, but in a more formal measured way. And the important things, though, that got changed in this license wasn't about control and authorization and the PHP group and things like that. The important thing was the fact that the PHP license version 3 / Zen Engine license version 2, were not OSI compatible licenses, which sounds insane, right? For a project as big as PHP and as open as PHP, you'd think we would have an OSI compatible license. And we didn't. What we had was basically a fork of the Apache license, which itself was kind of a fork of the BSD license, the modified BSD license, but it's got all these extra clauses on here. Things like, you can't use PHP in the name of your product built using PHP. And I forget what some of the other clauses was. That was a big one that always came up a lot, though. Mostly because a lot of people didn't follow it anyway, and we didn't really push it because we can't afford lawyers. So we've gotten rid of all those extra OSI confounding clauses, and it's just modified BSD license, aka BSD 3 clause license now. And so anyone whose rule for bringing in external open source software can now say, oh, look, OSI compatible. Yay, happiness. And that will take effect as of the next branch of PHP, which will be 8.6. So 8.5 going back to 4.0. something is going to be PHP version 3/Xen version 2 license. And you know, of course, the ancient ones are going to be whatever their licenses were. So
we're going to have a whole new marketing initiative to focus PHP sales on the enterprises that can now run the open source code, right?
Yes, yes, that's exactly it. Well, you know, we foundation has a new executive director, so Elizabeth is going to be very hard at work getting all those enterprise content. No, come on. I can't say that with a straight face.
It's fine.
But, you know, private companies out there who do sell PHP support services can at least say to their clients, hey, this is ticking the box that you want to tick.
Right.
So box ticked.
Have this is a regulation hurdle bypassed easily for them. Yeah.
And the thing I just want to say again, thank you so much for doing all this work, Ben. I know it was a pain in the butt. It is not sexy. It is not, you know, it's not generics.
It's not what you think of when you think of contributing to open source.
No, but it's very important.
Yeah. And I did reach out to Ben.
Just like contributing to talks.
Yes. I also reached out to Ben to see if he could join us to talk about this. And he had better things to do. I think he was afraid Eric was still on the show, or Eric was going to be on the show and he couldn't be seen on the same podcast with Eric. I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding.
Well, after the restraining order.
After the restraining order. Yes. We were totally kidding. Ben was going to be out of town or traveling and was not going to be able to make it. So thank you, Ben, for all that work with the license and everything else you do. It's greatly appreciated by a lot of people.
I'm not going to lie. I was so worried you were going to do a Jerry Springer moment there and be like, and we've got him here right now. And he's coming out from backstage and he's going to come in like, you got all of that wrong. That was not what the whole thing project was.
You're going to take us to
start throwing chairs all over the place.
The bouncers show up. Here's Eric and John going, what are you doing to our podcast?
But I realize it's the year of our Lord 2026, and there's probably people watching who don't know the name Jerry Springer, and now I'm really sad.
Oh, there's a couple of good documentaries, though.
Oh, good. Okay.
We can definitely, they'll definitely get
caught. There's probably new versions. Oh, I think he was like the mayor of Chicago at some point.
He was.
Feels completely on brand.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. In other news of Eternals, there was this kind of weird RFC. And it's called the Allow Reassignment of Promoted Read-Only Properties in Constructor RFC. And boy, is that one heck of a title. I read through this RFC a handful of times, and I kind of understood it. And then I tried to follow some of the discussions, and I don't know if maybe I'm just writing PHP wrong and I never run into these issues, but at the surface, reassignment of something that should be read-only sounds wrong. And this RFC, did not pass. Yeah.
So I abstained on that vote personally. The yeses and nos were about 50-50. I tried to get some comments beforehand to say like, well, why did you vote no? Why did you vote yes on that sort of thing? The consensus seems to be a couple of things. Number one, our logic behind reassignment of read-only properties is complicated enough as it is, gosh darn it. And if that's a problem for you, you can just make it not read-only and then have a setter that knows how to deal with, you know, time of setting, things like that. Mm-hmm. Like there are ways around this problem in as much as it's a problem. That said, I've run into this. Like I sometimes will make little pod classes where I want to have like just a very terse description of what goes into the class where I'll just be like constructor property promotion. It's a single line, put the default in there, no problem. Oh, but actually I want to make sure that whatever default is in there is also then like wrapped in some sort of encapsulation. Like you want a host name and actually turn that into like a URN of some kind. It's a contrived problem. It's not a serious problem. It's not one that really matters that much. So I'm not that bothered by it, hence the abstention. But I was going somewhere else with that thought.
I think one of the comments I saw was that it made a really complex thing a little bit clearer. And I think it's, you know, as somebody who didn't vote for this RFC, I forgot to hit the abstain button. I didn't vote one way or other because I didn't really have any strong opinions, but it felt like that feels like worth doing, right? If we have this really complicated thing that you have to do in PHP because of reasons, if an RFC comes along that makes it better, that's a win, right? And you know, it, obviously it's hard to sell that to everybody in internals and try to campaign and try to get votes to approve your RFC for that, because it's definitely comes down to technical implementation and what does the resulting syntax look like. So I don't know. I'm glad to hear that it's not like this end of the world thing, that it's still something people are going to run into, obviously, because we're not changing the behavior, but they can still code their way around it.
Yeah. That's the important thing is that they can code their way around it. And I remember what I was going to say about it is that, yes, my initial read on it was kind of like that. It was, you know, you can wind up with a much clearer syntax to do the thing that you're intending to do. And the constructor itself is sort of, it's pre-object. It's not real object yet. It's not quite objecting. It's you're not changing something that's already been set. You're in the process of setting is sort of the rationale behind it. But for the case of inheritance, you've got a superclass and a subclass. If the subclass is still in its constructor, but the superclass's constructor's already been called, and you start changing one of the superclass's properties, well, should you be allowed to, even though it's only because you're in the constructor, or should you not be allowed to because that's not your playground to sort of mess around with? And we can apply the same kind of rules as protected versus private property access there, but then we've added an extra layer of complexity in this thing that we're supposedly simplifying, because now visibility is not really visibility. It's like it's a pseudo visibility of read only overrides, and just from a user face perspective, that gets complicated. Then you have to actually drill down into the implementation, and what the implementation is doing is like, oh, I'm setting something that was marked read only, but it's already been set. So in my call stack, am I inside a constructor? But I'm in the right constructor. It's kind of snowballs after a while, both from the user and from the engine's point of view. So. Maybe in the future we do that and we decide that it's not that complicated and it does make sense, but for now.
Yeah, or something comes along that just kind of clears up the original issue of making what's causing that to be problematic easier to do.
Yeah.
Let's see.
It changes a lot all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. The last thing we have on our notes for internals is the latest PHP 8.4 release, which I think is about 11 days early.
It was about 11 days early. That sounds about right. Yeah. 8.4.20. Giddy. I put that one on there. Sorry.
It's great. Always happy to celebrate a new PHP release.
Yes. It's the kind of, release that can just really open your mind, you know?
Yeah. You go out to and just hang out at a park and have just a beautiful sunny afternoon.
Compile those opcodes, man.
Compile those opcodes. All right, let's hear from this week's partner and give me a second when I find it. There we go. PHP score. Oh, I should do the chat thing first, probably. There we go. Clicking buttons, and I'm back where I need to be. Perfect. All right, let's hear from PHP score.
Thank you to our partners at phpscore.com. Every app builds up technical debt over time. It's the price we pay for shipping new features and moving fast. When we build up too much of it, though, it can start to impact how we work. Team velocity suffers, bugs become more frequent and take longer to fix, and everyone starts to get a little frustrated. The key to managing debt is to measure it. A credit score can help you understand how well you're managing your financial debt, and now there's a credit score for your technical debt. Go to phpscore.com to get a free technical debt score and monitoring for all of your PHP applications today.
Fantastic. Thank you, PHP Score, for making this podcast a little bit better. All right. So moving on with our topic, our notes for our topics. One of the things that I've kind of been involved with in my local tech community for a really long time is mentoring and helping people do mostly career change. People like adults who were like working a 9-to-5 doing retail sales or whatever. And they were like, oh, I want to be a programmer, and doing those kind of career changes and working with local user groups and local organizations. So one of the things that constantly comes up in those circles is, what are the best ways to help others stay engaged and with learning and increasing their skills? I mean, a lot of people get to a certain point and they get that developer job and they just stay in that developer job forever. And they never really learn anything outside of of that core skill set that got them the job and keeps them the job. So how do we as a community kind of help? How do we help improve that? And how do we help people stay engaged? And one of the things PHP Architect is doing is PHP Tech. You know, come join a conference and meet other people doing the same thing you are or similar things.
I like you slid that plug in there. Nice. Yeah.
I think I'm contractually obligated.
Eric's going to actually take the podcast back if you don't. Yeah. I mean, I feel like if you would have asked me this question a year or two ago, I probably would have had an answer for you. But I think two things happened. One is that everybody is vibing. Well, not everybody. A lot of people are vibe coding these days, writing code that they don't necessarily understand. And I know we're not quite yet to the bullet point of crap on AI yet, but we'll get there. that is literally in the show notes. But I think that the people who are really interested in discovering new technologies and getting into new technologies, like that is an avenue that they are making use of there. And it can be a really quick and satisfying way to explore getting into a new sub area of the technology that you're already on or a new area of technology completely, if as long as you're learning from it. But I also feel like the opportunity to have direct mentorship where somebody's like, okay, I want to learn, maybe I want to learn to start writing a bunch of C++ and I need to just make some diffs and submit them to PRs and get the feedback on them. I feel like that's kind of dropping away. You're getting less of that direct mentorship feedback of telling you like, okay, yes, what you've done here will work. It's going to be O(n) cubed and maybe we can get that down a bit, but it'll work. And here's some feedback to help you kind of grow and progress, as opposed to, hey, Claude, write me some code that'll do this. And it's going to give you, probably a pretty decent implementation, especially with something, basic, like the kind of thing that's going to wind up in an O(n) cubed situation. But you're not going to learn it the same way. You might learn it a different way, but you're not going to learn it the same way. My thoughts kind of like going wide on that one. Have I mentioned I'm low on sleep?
That's totally fine. And another thing that my coworkers, Chris and Mike, do on their podcast, the PHP Alive and Kicking. See, another plug, just sliding them right in there. I'm so getting promoted. Not at all. Our friends.
When are we plugging the PHP Roundtable podcast?
I think if we keep doing this, Eric may like push that off on us. So I be careful what you ask for there. Yeah. But our coworkers, Chris and Mike, do the PHP Alive and Kicking podcast, and they often ask their guests that they have, how do we appeal to the next generation? In our show notes, I put the Utes because I'm a big Joe Pesci fan. How do you appeal to the youth where all these code schools and all these hip viral methodologies of learning to code are all JavaScript or they're Python or they're definitely not PHP and they're definitely not something as prevalent as WordPress, right? How do us as champions of the language go out and get the next generation? And it's hard. It's really hard, especially in areas like me where I'm in Memphis, where there are no local companies that are bolstering or talking about the fact they're using PHP. If they're using PHP, they're very quiet about it. And I know there's several companies here using it, but they don't talk about it. And I mean, to be fair, those companies also aren't talking about their other languages either.
I mean, from my perspective, that has been sort of a question that we've been sort of struggling with since day one. Like no university, well, I won't say no university, but like certainly no, few, if any, universities, I'll put it that way, have put PHP front and center in their computer science curriculum because, oh my God, it's a disgusting language and nobody should use it. I say that in jest. They do tend to use either Java or Python are their sort of like their big go-tos. Mm-hmm. Python being like a really handy scripting language and Java just being something that was very clearly like just hard engineered from day one to be fitting very strict rules and how it functions, which is great for a teaching program. I don't know how many bits of software are written in Java these days.
A lot.
New projects. Really?
Yeah. The healthcare industry is huge in Java and .NET. Locally, the big technology employers here in town are Java. The people who are doing machine learning are heavy Python shops. Everybody else is pretty much .NET or some kind of mixture.
Can I have a question for you, Joe?
Yes.
Why?
I wish I knew. And ultimately, it's because of FedEx. It's because less recently now they laid off a bunch of people, but International Paper, St. Jude, and some of these other larger companies in Memphis that are the large technology employers, they're already using Java. I mean, FedEx has been a Java and .NET shop forever in various, and then they acquired different companies. They rewrite. They just kind of shove everybody into the same platforms.
Now, see, as an explanation, that makes a lot more sense, because if you've got, and I know this is a loaded word, legacy Java, then it makes sense to keep it, because if it ain't broke, don't fix it. There's a reason that the old space shuttles ran on technology that was already 20 years old. You don't want something that's going to break. Like, God, can you imagine having to install an Outlook update while you're in orbit? That would be terrible.
And we've actually seen the Artemis crew struggling with Microsoft Outlook syncing on their personal devices as they did their slingshot around the moon.
That's the joke. Yes. Oh, was it just personal devices? I actually didn't read past the headline.
Oh, I'm sure it was more than just the personal devices. I just cracked up when Mission Control has to call up and say, okay, your email synced. You can open Outlook now.
I had this vision of it being actually part of the main, rocket system.
Right.
Not just like, somebody's BlackBerry or something.
There's an Exchange server in the service module.
Houston,
running on an old NT4 workstation.
How did we get on that topic?
Oh, we're trying to figure out how to get more people involved in PHP.
Oh, yes. Sorry, what I was going to get to there is that this has been something that we've kind of struggled with as a question of making sure, one, that there are people using PHP who are interested in the language to be writing new sites with and continuing to want the language to exist. And two, there are people around to continue making the language exist. Because I know there's a lot of gray hair around the journals. Not all of it. There are plenty of young people working on PHP these days too. Young people, listen to me. there are plenty of late millennials and Zoomers. Can I
yes.
say that? Okay.
Yeah, I think that's safe.
Working on PHP these days. And that is a good thing. Definitely when... Nikita Popov came in. He was, I think, a college student at the time, which is great. It's. I hope he's enjoying LLVM, and it's fine.
Well, one of the veteran release manager for H6 is Daniel, and he is relatively young. He just recently mm-hmm. I met him for the first time at Lone Star. Longhorn, not Lone Star. Jeez, wow, going back. Longhorn PHP this past year. I met him there, and he seems like an awesome guy, and he definitely brings a lot of youthful energy, and it's great to see that.
Yeah, I'm really happy to see that too. The one other thing I want to add into that was that one of the sort of core focuses that Elizabeth came in as the foundation's new executive director is to get a plan going to kind of evangelize PHP out there.
DevRel for the language, essentially.
DevRel for the language, essentially. Yeah.
Right. Whatever DevRel looks like these days.
We don't have a clear plan for what that looks like yet, but we have a plan to plan.
Well, she's only been on the job a month or two weeks. So
give her a break.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. We're definitely a problem that I think everyone's aware of.
And I don't think it's unique to PHP either. I look at the Python community, and they're definitely having similar issues.
I think every language has this issue on some level. Like we kind of poo-pooed on Java earlier, even though it's like a favorite darling of the educational circuit. I'm sure there are people having the same conversation within Java, because they'll be like, well, we've got this reputation as something that enterprise cares about, but the meat and potatoes are leaving us for these new fangled upstart languages. Like
I don't know. Spring Boot is huge in the teaching communities that I've seen, and like the code schools and stuff. Java Spring Boot is huge there, because it's such an easy thing to say, all right, this is the back end, this is your front end, go play. And people are able to just pick that up and run with it. So I think that's something Java or somebody is putting money into Java Spring Boot to kind of revitalize that as a onboarding platform into the ecosystem. So I think maybe we need something similar, right?
Well, and that's what I'm saying. Like that's like that is sort of like the Java version of the response to how do we make sure we've got people who are interested in language still. The PHP version of that is going to be something different, but you know, it's I think a lot of people are having to think about this thought all the time. It's not even a new thing.
Yeah, for sure. All right, are we ready to move on to the AI bashing portion of the show?
unless you have something you want to add in there. You mentioned Code Crew.
Yeah. So in Memphis, we have a lot of organizations that are doing essentially job retraining. Code Crew is an organization that is very near and dear to my heart because I know one of the founders, Meka, and he has just done so much for the city of Memphis and done so much for people trying to kind of get kids involved in coding and being able to offer some kind of alternative learning thing that the schools aren't able to teach, the colleges aren't able to teach, and they also teach some adult classes as well. But there's another organization called Tech 901 that also does primarily adult-focused retraining classes. Like they do a CompTIA A+ class, they do an N+, and they essentially are kind of not really trade skills, but giving people trade skills in the IT world to be able to go get a job working on hardware at a support center or a manufacturing plant and being able to give people those life-changing job opportunities or the skills to be able to get those life-changing job opportunities. And in an area such as Memphis, where it's a very poor area. The median income is very low. And it's great to be able to see people in my area be able to go take advantage of those kinds of things. And the community efforts, there's also a huge community effort of essentially people like me who used to be user group leaders. We kind of pool our efforts into smaller groups these days, but it's essentially the same effort of getting technology people together in a physical place once or twice a month to be able to talk about something or celebrate something and just be able to kind of that knowledge share and be able to have access to people of, hey, Joe knows this thing, I'll go ask him about that. Or Brian knows this thing, I can go ask Brian about a thing. And it's just been really great to see that kind of stuff firsthand.
So these programs, though, are they able to do this on like a not-for-profit basis, or are these like private companies that are just seeing a market space for it?
So I think it's a mixture of the two. I know Code Crew is a nonprofit, and then I believe Tech 901 is also a nonprofit. I believe they're both 501c organizations. Cool. Cool. Yeah. But Code Crew actually has a curriculum where they actually do a code school, and I believe that may be a for-profit entity. That's more of a traditional you pay or you essentially you go get training and then they help you get a job. And then for X amount of time, you pay back whatever the tuition was. Right. So it's that sort of arrangement, which some of those arrangements were like really super predatory, but the model that Code Crew has been using is not like they actually,
it sounds like something that could be predatory or not.
Yeah.
Depending on how
absolutely. Yeah. And Code Crew definitely does it. And the, what I would say is the right way of doing it, where you're focusing on the human you're retraining, as opposed to seeing that human as something to be taken advantage of. Right. And Tech 901 is very much they offer this different curriculum of classes. Like I mentioned, they do A+. They also do just basic computer skills. They have different one-off classes. A good friend of mine and previous coworker is a teacher there. He teaches Python. He's teaching a lot of JavaScript stuff through there. And I've had a lot of friends go through classes there and just kind of trying to get, they might have an idea of, hey, I might want to go be a programmer. Let me take this $500 3-month course and where I learned some basic JavaScript stuff. And it's really kind of nice to be able to have that option for people.
At the risk of jumping ahead to the crap on the AI portion, as somebody living in 2025, 2026, you picked a great time to get into programming. There's tons of jobs out there for you right now. you said something else in there that I want to jump on, and it's going to feel like it's topic change. But you mentioned A+ certification, which gave me this like instant Ratatouille moment of going back into my childhood. I do remember in the 90s, that was like the big certification that you would want to get in sort of the IT field, not so much the software field. Mm-hmm. And one, today I learned that's still a thing that exists.
It is.
Two, are people still getting Zen certified? Is that a thing that's going on right now?
I
don't know what the status of that is.
Perforce announced new certifications, didn't they?
I want to say somebody
with access to the Zen materials. Perforce Zen, they're offering the PHP certification exams. You can become a Zen PHP certified engineer.
Nice.
So those are great. I've always been a fan of, if you don't have traditional schooling and you are just starting out, certifications are definitely one tool that you can use to prove you have the competency, that you know how to do a thing. So if, whether it's PHP, whether it's Java, whether it's Python, definitely go through and look at those kinds of certifications that may be out there for you to be able to kind of get a leg up on that, getting that first IT job or that first programming job, because that's usually the hardest thing that people going through career retraining, or even people just coming out of college or high school that want to be programmers. That's getting that first job is the hardest.
And whether your resume is being reviewed by a human or a clanker, keywords are magical. And
they
if
you've
are. Got a certification on there, that's more than somebody who doesn't have a certification on there.
Right. And the organization that was behind the Laravel certification has also recently revamped their certification. So if you are wanting to get hired into a Laravel shop, that is an option too. If you don't have a traditional four-year degree or you don't have enough experience, definitely look at the certification route. It's definitely something that a lot of employers will look at and say, okay, yeah, this means, you know, Joe has the certification. He knows what he's talking about in that topic. Said no one ever.
If you have a Zen PHP certification, you've got something I don't have, because I never actually bothered to take the test, even after helping write the first study guide.
I went through several study guides and books, but I never took the exam. I was always too scared to take the exam. I did take and pass the Laravel, the first iteration of the Laravel certification, which covered Laravel 5. That's because I was invited to kind of help contribute to some of the questions. So I got a voucher to take the test and took the test. And I was like, hey, I'm Laravel certified. So
I think you hit on something really, really good there. It's you're too scared to take the test because, yeah, if I don't take the test, it's just like, oh no, it's fine. I don't need to take the test.
Right.
I know
but
all
if
this
I
stuff.
Fail
I
the
all
this test.
Speech. Yeah, oh that God, would be the worst case scenario.
If I fail the Zen,
oh my God,
America's gonna fire me. Oh my God, you know.
Besides, I have a PHP 6 certified shirt. I'm not wearing it right now, but I'm
also certified in PHP 6.
Yes.
Our good friends at Rove continuing to the tradition of teaching and certifying people in PHP version 6.
That used to be my release day shirt for when I was picking out PHP releases. I wear that shirt for good luck to make sure the release came out good.
That's awesome.
All right. So now we get to poop on AI, right? I don't know why I'm censoring myself, by the way. I should be saying it's time to shit on AI. And I know swearing's okay on this podcast, but I'm just like, can we poop on AI?
Are we going to offend some sensibilities? Are we scared of that on this podcast? I don't think so.
I don't know why it's on that specifically. you had an article with that, though. Sorry.
Oh, sorry. Yes. You were waiting.
Oh, no. It's Eric's tweet. Yes.
Eric's tweet. Oh, and I have a thing I can do for this. Hold on. We're going to get really fancy.
Can you even bring up the tweet?
I am going to bring up the tweet if I can remember where I put that browser window. There it is. And then I'm going to be a professional podcaster and do this whole screen sharing thing to allow that. And this is a really long tweet, but it brings up an interesting point. I'll read this aloud for the people who are maybe listening to the audio podcast and can't see my screen.
And me, I can't read that. That is, the writing is too small.
That's fair. I can't say that. It's a substantial amount of information in this tweet.
Well, and Eric's never on some average shit, so you know.
That's fair. So Eric's talking.
He's just loud and passionate.
He is. So he says, I've been thinking about this for a while. With the rise of AI, I find myself using tools like Claude Code more and more, jumping through NeoVim, I believe is what he's a big fan of, when I need to make tweaks or to track things down. So I finally decided to say goodbye to PHP Storm for at least for now. I mean, it's a product, so it's not like I can't change my mind and start paying for it again. I've always had the stance, and I've said it many times on the podcast, if you're making money coding in PHP, do yourself a favor and invest in PHP Storm. And I'm not changing that stance, at least not yet anyways. He goes on to talk about how PHP was really easy for him to roll out, and he really does think it's a good tool. But I'm gonna like take the bait and get myself in trouble with Eric and say, well, this is because Eric shouldn't be writing code anymore. It's probably what this is more about.
Write code as it is.
But I recognize this in myself, right? The I do more DevOps stuff and more operation stuff. So my day-to-day for PHP Architect is very little time in an editor, unless I'm writing scripts or reviewing code, which is where I spend most of my time for PHP Architect, where I'm either writing playbooks, doing DevOps things, building scripts, systems, architecting things, or reviewing a lot of code. And I still use PHP Storm daily, and I also use it essentially as my text editor. So if I need to like go make a note or something, I don't fire up Notepad or TextEdit or Vim. I just fire up a PHP Storm project, and I have a gazillion scratch files, which I've recently had to go back and organize, and it was a little bit of a nightmare. So I really need some kind of text editor tool that isn't PHP Storm. But yeah, I get what Eric's saying here.
Sorry, I'm just suddenly stuck on this concept that like, oh, I don't go all to all the extent of firing up Vim. That's way too heavy. I run PHP Storm. That's much more lightweight for my purposes.
Yeah, see, in the days...
Not to crap on PHP Storm. It's a lovely editor.
PHP Storm is great. It's widely recognized. It is definitely a resource hog, or it can be, especially in large code bases, especially if you don't kind of slim it down or turn off some of the things that you're not using. Oh, compared to Vim, yeah. I mean,
tiny editor.
Memory is so expensive, you can't fire up big applications anymore, right? You've got to go back to the basics, people. But we have AI.
640K is enough for anyone.
Right. So if...
Die on that hill.
Yeah, let us know what you think. Or if you're finding that the... How do I say this? If you're finding that the agentic lifestyle of development is more for you, to where that's where you're not actually using tools as much as you would before, that's an interesting concept for me. But I definitely see where I see that position for Eric, because unless he's doing a POC or unless he's debugging something, I can see where his day-to-day wouldn't really involve a lot of PHP Storm.
Well, even if he were a day-to-day coder, let's forget the Eric piece of that for the moment. Like his point of you should always be reviewing the tools you use, and are they the right tools for the job that you're trying to do?
Absolutely.
In your day-to-day work. I 100% agree with that. And I made the joke of like, you know, the 640K is enough for anyone, and Vim is just fine for everything I need to do. Yada, 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 yada. It's possible that I'm a little too stuck in my ways in terms of the tools that I use. I think the last time I actually honestly reviewed my editor, I think Bush Jr. was in office. It's been a while. Bush Jr. W, whatever you call him. But it's important to review your tools because, you know.
Absolutely. And don't be afraid of investing in new tools and seeing what I was a big Sublime text envier. I was jealous of how fanatical people were about Sublime Text, because I certainly wasn't that fanatical about any tools I was using. And I tried Sublime Text, and I spent about 6 months with it and got to the point where it was my daily editor. And I was like, okay, just one day I was like, okay, that's enough for me. I'm going back to PHP Storm. And I don't know if that's because I just had more years in PHP Storm, or if something just switched off in my brain. It's like, okay, I figured out why people like this, and it's just not for me. To each their own. I feel like you should definitely utilize the tools that you're more comfortable with, and definitely spend the time investing in those tools to make sure you're more proficient. You're as proficient with them as you can be.
What was the size of the Sublime window? Like, were you using it for a year, 10 years?
About 6 months, I think.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I can see 6 months being kind of like the novelty wears off, and it's time to really go back and think like, okay, am I trying this out because it's new and it's exciting, or am I sticking with this because it's actually getting the job done? Or
I have this memory of trying. I have this memory of getting to a point where Xdebug just wouldn't reliably connect. And I just I was like, okay, I'm tired of fighting the tools. I'm just going to go fire up PHP Storm, press a button, and my Xdebug config just works. And that's all. That's a lot of me and my development environment and my Xdebug configuration, and a lot less on the tooling. I'm sure the Sublime has ways to do it. It's just that maybe that was the frustration point where I was just like, nope, I'm out. I'm good. I did what I wanted to do here.
I'm laughing because I think you just described every attempt of mine to switch to Linux on the desktop.
Really?
I'm tired of fighting this. I want it to just work. I don't want to have to debug why my audio isn't coming out.
Yes.
For the thousandth time.
But you know what? I don't know if it's the hardware or the old man in me or the old man that I'm becoming, but going with a System 76 laptop and going with Fedora was like the greatest Linux on the desktop change for me, for modern Linux on the desktop. Fedora, if you don't mind GNOME based Fedora, is about as pure slash pretty opinionated Linux as you can get without having to deal with something like Gentoo or Arch, where you have to worry about compiling your own drivers and stuff. It's like, that's a young person's game. My time, I would rather be like doing almost anything else than having to recompile my Wi-Fi drivers. I went through that. I went through having to compile my own Linux drivers, and I hated it. I hated it in the late 90s, and I hate it now. So I just feel like there's better options that are out there now. So
I'm pretty sure the last time I actually compiled the Linux kernel, it was a version 1.something kernel. It's been a hot minute.
Yeah.
What are we even on now? 5-something, I think. Nobody knows.
See, I don't care anymore because Fedora just manages that for me, right?
And the thought going through my head is like, oh, just run finger at kernel.org. That'll tell you, or wherever it was. And by the way, kids, there was a protocol called Finger, and you could just ask a Unix server for a user's profile message, and the kernel project used that to announce what the current version of Linux was, because who needs HTTP? That's too much overhead.
Too much overhead. Yeah, we're compiling kernels.
It's just, we don't have any overhead. It's an API, man.
The long-term release kernel, the current version is 6.18 with a projected end of life of December 2028. I think my Fedora laptop is on 5, whatever the Fedora 42, I think, is the current release. 43 is coming up. 42 is the current release. I think that's 5.6, unless they snuck in a 6 upgrade. Yeah.
All right. So 6.18 is going to be the stable. 6.19 is the dev, right? Because they still do that TikTok where the odd miner is a dev branch.
So according to the active kernel releases page on kernel.org, there is 6.18, 6.12, 6.6, 6.1, 5.15, and 5.10.
Okay, but the thing with the odd versus even minor version, that used to be a thing. I'll have to look this up.
Well, that's Discord is doing weird things. I'm trying to, there we go. Get into the Linux kernel?
Because we were talking about wanting something that just works.
Oh, right. Yeah, something that just works. So
apparently Fedora just works these days. Maybe I should give it a shot. I don't think I've given Linux on the desktop a shot.
And if you don't like GNOME, which I'm sure I know a ton of people have reservations against GNOME, Fedora does a thing called spins where they bake in a different development environment or desktop environment, into the ISOs that you can install. So you can go get a Cosmic remix. You can go get a KDE remix version of Fedora, and that's actually what a lot of people that aren't using base stock Fedora are using, is the KDE version. I hear people constantly talking about how great it is and how wonderful it is and all that fun stuff. So
KDE is the one that I have the most experience with. Like, it's one that would probably just automatically roll into and use, even though I haven't used it in a while. But maybe that's the problem. Maybe I should be trying GNOME. Maybe I should be trying something else
I feel like switching from Ubuntu to Fedora on my personal machines really helped. I stopped having this weird stigma when I would go to work and work on Red Hat machines or Enterprise Linux machines. It was like I didn't have to do that mental translation between apt and DNF or yum. It just like everything carried over and everything felt smoother. And I don't know, maybe that's just me being weird.
No, it's not you being weird, because I do the same thing, but from the other side. I've always used Debian family of distros. So like, I know the Debian commands. That we just flashed what happened.
Oh, I think I disconnected.
Well, the thing says on air. So theoretically, we're still talking.
Did we lose?
Somebody
I think
in Discord
we lost Sarah.
Type something if we're still talking.
I see Sarah's still there on the stream.
Can you hear me?
That's weird. Okay. I can't hear Sarah. Oh, is this what happens to Eric?
I will drop and I will come. Okay, maybe I won't do that. All right, well, what was I talking about? Using Debian family, yes.
Whatever happened.
So can you hear me now?
Me, I can hear you.
Okay, I was able to hear you just now, but your
computer, is that what's
stuttering?
Happening?
Oh, Eric might be trying to hack the stream back.
He might be.
Hmm. All right, Discord's saying they hear me. Eric's saying he hears me, of course, because my voice is coming literally out of the speaker in his computer right now, because that's how we're routing packets. Yes.
Yes. Okay, they hear us both. Eric hears us both.
Okay. Yes. It's all this talk about Linux. Yeah. The elephants are protesting.
Yeah, they're like, we don't care about what kernel version you're using. We just don't care.
Well, I don't know if you've ever tried to run PHP on Windows.
I have.
It runs really well.
That's actually how I got Doc Karma for PHP. Was I had every intention of going and improving the Windows documentation, and was never able to get back to doing that because I stopped using PHP on Windows, and the day job shifted everything over to Linux, and I had no ability to do that anymore. And I was like, oh, okay, all right then.
But now I have the karma.
Anything to the docs. Yes, I did get to commits into the infrastructure repo with Derek. Nice. I found two issues with the playbooks and got PRs submitted for those. I also added another PR that allows you to more easily run a local copy of all that infrastructure with the Ansible playbooks. So
yes, I did see that. Yeah.
I've got to finish my documentation on all of that. Yes.
Speaking of karmas, the release manager vote, we have not talked about an update about that.
I freely admit it's the STV voting that confuses me a lot.
I had to sit down and do the math before this episode just to make sure I knew where people stand.
Right.
The bad news is you do seem to be in third place right now.
So it's changed. Okay. That's fine.
Well, as of about 2 hours ago, you, I think, have a few more votes in the first round directly to mm-hmm. you. But the way that the leftover votes from Mateo get redistributed between you and Paul, mm-hmm. more is going to him. Oh, no, actually, Paul's actually slightly ahead in the first round, too, isn't he?
Yeah.
We should bring up I have it on a tab here somewhere. In first round, you are ahead on votes between you and Paul. And in fact, I think somebody must have moved votes. You know what? I'm going to have to do the math again. You might be closer to tied for second now.
At one point, a couple of days ago, I was in second, but I also may have been doing my math wrong. So we'll see.
Derek, if he is watching, probably has a script running that can tell us the answer for sure right now. So wait, are you not logged in? Because I see uncast votes on your screen. No, you cast on that.
I only
cast in the first round.
I did only cast in the first round because you told me to vote for myself and I had previously abstained. And then I read that if you wanted to abstain the rest, you just don't vote. So
can abstain the rest, and that is an option. Yes,
that is technically what I've done. That's my understanding. That's what I've done now. But okay. I guess I could go vote for the people.
You could. I mean, why not?
Why not? I don't know. Indeed. That's just my brain being
because you don't want them to get the other seat.
But I don't want them to get the votes. No, I had you and I had multiple people definitely reach out to me and say, hey, you should definitely vote for yourself. Go do that.
Well, you should, yes.
Yes, and I have. I just maybe need to go vote for some other people.
Okay. Well, that's where we're at. And the voting's been open for, what, 9 days now, something like that?
Yeah, the 15th, I think, is when it closes.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, the 15th at 6 o'clock UTC.
Yeah. So everybody else who has voting karma, get out there. Vote for your 8.5 release managers. I am not telling you that you should vote for Joe, but if you did vote for Joe, that is a thing that you could do.
It is definitely a thing you could do. Yeah. And I would appreciate
it's an option.
I don't know. I think if I lose, I'm going to ask and be like, hey, can I just shadow and see what this is all about and see what all you're doing? And maybe that'll give me a leg up in the 8.7 release manager vote.
Well, you mentioned you were looking at like the infrastructure bits. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Are release managers still using the Docker container that like Davey made for 8.1 and then I adapted? No, sorry, 7.1. And then I adapted and then reused. Are people still using Docker containers? I actually don't know how they're doing these days.
I don't know.
I'll have to read the playbook and see what I'm actually doing these days. It's been a hot minute.
There is I believe I'm also contractually obligated to read this sports spall update. So
I was just going to move on to that one.
Well, if you want to read it, you go right ahead.
Well, you know, since Eric isn't here, I'm sure that he is very concerned about the progress of the San Diego Padres and how they're doing since he was last able to appear on the podcast. And I looked at the 2026 season, and there's 12 games in there. They're currently 6-6, but if you look at the first half of the season, the six games leading up to when you and I liberated this stream, four losses, two wins. That is under the Eric and John leadership. Now, if you look at the six episodes since Operation PHP Podcast Freedom, it's been, what was it, 50-50? It's been four wins, two losses. So if Eric really wants the Padres to take the trophy, cup, and or pennant this year, then I think the best thing he could do is just stay away. That's just math.
That's science. Yeah. I mean, that's
science. Out. Yeah.
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 I had to put my sports ball hat on.
It what says, does that say?
It says, I hope this email finds you at a hockey game. My sister got this for me because my sister and I are about to go to Chicago for a couple of hockey games and a baseball game.
Nice.
So yeah. Yeah. It's going
to
be great.
I have been to exactly two professional sports ball games in my life. Not just bite baseball, but like any. I went to a Dodgers game in the '80s, Dodgers versus Giants. Could not tell you who won. But I know that my aunt really liked the SF Giants and my dad really liked the LA Dodgers. And so somebody won. And the other one was a Cubs White Sox game at Wrigley Field with my sister last year. No, 2 years ago. That was a fun game.
That's awesome. That's one of the things we're planning on doing most likely. So yeah, I think there's a game Sunday that we're going to try to go to. And neither of us are very big baseball fans. We're big Blackhawk fans. I grew up watching them, and she grew up watching the Blackhawks. So we're going to go see the Blackhawks. And Sarah's made the best argument for me to retire from my podcasting career.
I think everybody would appreciate that. No, I'm sorry. We all miss you, Eric.
Without Eric, we wouldn't have a podcast to hijack, unless we hijack the PHP roundtable.
Well, Eric is a mentor when it comes to hijacking podcasts. He just sort of like picks them up, like, I'm going to buy this magazine company so we get a podcast. I'm going to convince Sammy, who hasn't done an episode of Roundtable in Ages, to give me his podcast. But yes, I agree. We should bring the Roundtable back.
I don't have mine handy.
These elephants just came out of vacuum storage. They were in my suitcase.
They poofed back up
on the
nicely.
Latest flight. Yes, they poop. They're very poofy.
Yeah.
I mean, this one could maybe lose a little weight, but I don't have an architect elephant here yet, unfortunately. I have five. I have five elephants here.
That sounds low for you, for what I know about your collection.
I mean, and considering. The one
behind you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I have this one here. I have this one here. I have this one here. And others.
Yeah, Chris said Eric let him and Mike loose on a podcasting too, which is either good or bad depending on your liking of the podcast. And I think Eric let them do their own podcast just because Eric couldn't fit another podcast into his weekly schedule.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's what's going to happen. If Eric gives up on this one, he's going to go start bothering Chris and constantly now.
Well, they should have him on their podcast. I mean, he is a developer.
And they have the more popular podcast anyway.
Just gonna let that one sit for a minute. Let's all enjoy it. That one.
Just soak it up.
Yeah, let that one sit in the air for a minute.
I keep forgetting where I have my notes set. Yes.
All right. Is there anything else we want to talk about? We covered our sports update. We bashed the AI machine. We talked about internals. We talked about.
There was one topic left on there, yes. But it was the last minute ad, so I don't really know how much we're going to cover it, and we have hit an hour anyway, so I think we're probably fine. Honestly, we can save that for when Eric inevitably decides that he's got too much of a man flu to come back. So,
all right, fair enough.
Apparently Chris has invited him to the Alive and Kicking.
Like, good.
He's been out sick for 2 weeks. He needs to prove that he is one alive and two
proof kicking. Of life.
Mm-hmm. Kicking. Not in a steamer trunk.
Now, here's the question: is Eric going to make an appearance on that podcast before John is going to make an appearance on that podcast? I wonder if have they invited John, or have they snubbed John?
Yeah. What's up, Chris? John, you too good for John?
I'm
John. John can't come on your podcast.
I'm pretty sure my episode with them is still labeled Ben Ramsey. because I filled in for Ben Ramsey who couldn't make it one. And I don't think they ever changed the thumbnail or the description or anything. So you go watch that Ben Ramsey episode. It's me.
Well, Eric was Ben Ramsey for a while too, wasn't he?
Yes.
Oh, Chris says he invited him. Okay, good.
Okay, fantastic.
My prediction is that John is going to get there before Eric.
Okay.
And I'm mostly making that prediction falsely because I honestly think it's going to be Eric, but I'm trying to like egg him into
it. Taunt Eric into doing it?
Yeah.
Does something here on a Tuesday. That's fair.
Now, is that redacted because you don't know, or is it redacted because you're sworn to secrecy?
I don't know that he's sworn to any company secrecy. If he's sworn to secrecy, it may not be a company wide.
Maybe personal secrecy.
I am not aware of any secrets that may or may not have been sworn.
Did we just get spam?
Yeah.
That looks like spam.
It's not great.
People in the Discord, write things so this disappears off the stream and somebody ban that person.
Yes, I have done those things. I don't know if it's going to... Oh, look at that. Oh, nope. There we go.
Might be on from Discord, but it's not still on the screen. Sarah's going to be on the third episode before either of them turn up. Yeah, that's probably true because I am an attention, an attention seeker. I was going to throw other words in there. I'm like, no, let's not push that.
All right. Anything else? Last statements, comments, suggestions, wisecracks before we call it a show.
Thank you for putting up with me being tired and therefore far more chaotic than I normally would be. I did try to medicate before this, but meds don't work very well when I'm tired.
I appreciate you doing this right after the transatlantic flight. Definitely appreciate it. And Eric and John appreciate it too as well. I'm certain they've told me.
Well, and not only was last night the first proper night of sleep I got after my flight, but today I went apartment hunting and wound up walking 7 or 8 kilometers over some hilly terrain. So I'm actually really exhausted. So,
well, that should help with the sleep schedule.
But Eric's got a little cold. So.
All right. Thank you everybody for joining us. We'll see you next time. If our hack holds out, this time next week, you may see Eric and John. We'll see.
This has been PHP Podcast, the official podcast of PHP Architect,
the industry's leading tech magazine and publisher
focused on PHP and web development. Subscribe today at phparch.com to see what the leaders in the community and industry are talking about.